your finances, on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Welcome back, everyone. It's been a couple weeks since we spoke, and things have just been very busy. And then we had, of course, some really bad weather in the southern part of our country. And let's hope and pray that they recover quickly and no more new storms on the horizon. So God bless them all for hanging in there. Just some updates. Some of you have asked when our book, The Key to Power Profits, would be ready in a paperback, and it is now available on Amazon. I don't know as we're going to have it available on Barnes & Noble. For some reason, Barnes & Noble seems to have some, how do I put this nicely, accounting problems. So I don't know if we're going to post it there. I recently pulled all our other books due to this problem that's been going off and on for close to 2 years. So at least for right now, The Key to Power Profits is available on Amazon in a paperback and a Kindle. The next book that is going to be coming out at the beginning of November, which is literally right around the corner, I can't believe it, is going to be The Sacred Path of the Warrior Trader. Now, this is going to incorporate a lot of the material I had in a previous book titled Independent Prosperity. And that book, although there was a lot of good material in it, it wasn't specifically geared towards traders. And it kind of sent a mixed message because I was trying to cover just anybody working anywhere as well as traders. And I just decided I really need to separate that book into two separate sets of material. So we're working on that fast and furious. Again, it's The Sacred Path of the Warrior Trader. And we're pretty excited about it. You can pre-order it on Amazon. And if you have any questions, just, you know, give me a call or, send me an email. The third thing to cover before we get rocking here today is the crappy print job of The Disciplined Trader. As I've mentioned previously, the publisher finally agreed to honor the publishing contract and add my name to the book. But what they haven't agreed to do is to fix the lousy printing. And those of you who have bought the book know that some pages are so faint you can barely read them. Other pages are bold. I just can't even imagine how this is possible in today's world. I talked to one of my editors a couple weeks ago and asked them what the status was. And this is how disconnected editors are from the actual publishing industry that they're getting a paycheck from. She literally said to me, I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing, but it's sad, but this is a true statement. She said, well, the printer probably ran out of toner. Okay. For those of you not in the publishing industry, for those of you who don't do large amounts of commercial printing as I do, as a small publisher myself, the printers today are computerized, and they have been for a good 15 years, at least. Even the small print shops, you know, down the road, even the ones that Staples office supplies, these machines are well into the six figures, if not over $1 million, and they are all computerized. And they will shut down before they're going to print something that doesn't have ink. So that just said a lot as to the mentality and the level of awareness that my editor has at Penguin Random House. So I'm not quite sure if and when we're going to get a decent print job of the hardcover of The Disciplined Trader. If it goes any further, you know, we'll have to take matters in hand. But I apologize for that. But as I've said previously, please call customer service at Penguin Random House. Call their 800 number and complain and get the refund from them, okay? Because if you just send it back to Amazon, there isn't going to be any difference. they're not going to listen to me saying I'm getting hundreds of emails. But if you guys call up, it only takes 30 seconds and say, hey, your print job stinks. What the heck? Then they're going to start to take notice and then they'll hopefully correct the situation. So you'd be helping yourself and you'd be helping me and many other traders. So just, you know, thank you for that. And if you have any questions on that, again, give me a call at 760-636-4290 or send me an email. All right. So with that, let's get going on this sixth day of October already as we get ready for fall and cooler temperatures and Halloween. So what we're going to talk about today is a little multidimensional, but the overall theme is being your own person. For those of you who have read Trading in the Zone, which is, as you may or may not know, our second best-selling book on trading psychology, that book itself has been translated into 15 foreign languages as of today. That's a lot. So you know it's a popular book, and especially those of you that have read it. Now, at the beginning of chapter 5 on page 69, we write, and I'm quoting, "One of the primary objectives of this book is to teach you how to take the threat of pain out of market information." Now, again, I'm going over this stuff again because there's a lot of you guys out there that are newer to trading and you don't understand, number one, the purpose of how our materials came to fruition, much less why it's so important. When Trading in the Zone was published in 2000, the trading industry was just beginning to embrace even a concept of a mental approach to trading, because probably 99% of everyone in the field still believed that technical analysis was the only thing to think about, that technical analysis was 100% responsible for all successful trades and all successful traders. Now, since 2000, the concept of a mental approach, or i.e. trading psychology, has pretty much become a mainstream concept, at least in name only. To date, many brokerage firms, financial institutions, and popular media hosts on trading still claim that trading psychology may play a part in successful trading, but it is not the part or as important as technical analysis. And unfortunately, they're perpetuating a myth. And many of you who may have had large drawdowns know what I'm talking about. Now, for those of you that aren't aware, in this industry that we all love, it's always been rampant with know-it-alls and even charlatans. Most notably beginning with the term robber barons, which was coined in the early 1930s, you know, because those big investors caused the 1929 crash. And I know a lot of you younger traders out there, when I start talking about this in a coaching session or a workshop, you know, you get this glazed look in your face and you're like, what does that have to do with anything today? It has everything to do with today. Now, in 1929, before the crash, the market was flooded with overinflated shares, bank loans that were out of control, overproduced agriculture, leading to a glut in all of that, sending prices down drastically and quickly, meaning too many stocks had been bought on margin, interest rates were extremely high, even at that time, and this led to investors panic selling. And then these robber barons, who had plenty of cash flow, swooped in and kept buying up everything that was being sold at lower and lower prices as the panic spread from Wall Street to the individual investor. Now, this is no different than what happened with the mortgage crises in, you know, 2007, 2000 through 2009. This is the same exact mentality. Now, the people coined as robber barons back then in 1929, that included Joseph Kennedy Sr., Percy Rockefeller, William Danforth, as well as another, you know, a number of their peers. These wealthy men shorted the market so quickly and in such large contract size that not even Wall Street or the average investor or retail broker even had a chance to get out of the market before the prices began falling. And then the action fell into a fast market due to the panic sell-off. And many people were completely wiped out. And as you may have heard the stories, many people took their lives. Now, the term robber baron was applied to these men because countless businesses and consumers lost everything and more to what I would call unbridled greed. As I said, many people committed suicide. Many became homeless, never to recover. And this crash ushered in the Great Depression. And so we can see from first glance that all of this appeared to be is greed. Now, the robber barons from that time really are no different than, say, the Warren Buffetts, the Bill Gates, or the George Soroses of today. The thing that all these mega wealthy investors have in common, whether they're from 100 years ago, 2007 to 2009 to today, is that they were astute enough to see opportunities that the average investor didn't see, or if the average investor did see, they were unwilling to take that level, that depth of financial risk to turn it around. So again, this applies to the Buffetts, the Gates, the Soros, who anybody you want to think of, they are the robber barons of today. So we could also argue that these types of robber barons, whether from yesterday, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, or from today or tomorrow, weren't just greedy. They were also very smart. So I like to think it's a little bit of both. Why? Because the only reason any of us got into trading is to make money. So if we're going to say, well, these guys, you know, crashed the markets on all these different times, they did that just because they were being greedy, then that means you have a negative belief about what it means to be a trader, because that means you believe that trading is greedy. And being greedy isn't good now, is it? Now think about this. Let's take a break and we'll continue on. Okay, so the reason that I bring up the word greedy is because to become a successful trader, you have to define what it means to be a trader, what it means to you, but also, more importantly, is what it means to be a successful trader consistently, year in and year out. And even though this is something Mark and I have been teaching traders since 1999, even before that in our workshops, very few traders understand the need to define themselves as a success, but more than that, define themselves as a successful trader. If you haven't defined what it means to be a trader, and you've got this idea that being greedy by taking money out of the market when you may have plenty of money already is greedy, then that's a conflicting set of beliefs. I don't feel that any amount of money I take out of the markets is being greedy. Am I wealthy? By a lot of people's standards, yes. Do I feel rich? Absolutely. I live in a nice apartment. I am just renting, but I love my community. It's a gated community. It's a beautiful view of the mountains. I drive a BMW. I have a designer wardrobe. I have, you know, all the jewelry on the planet that I've ever wanted. I work really hard to live this lifestyle, and I don't feel that I'm being greedy when I make money as a trader. I don't feel I'm greedy if I make money from selling a book. I don't feel that I'm greedy when I get paid to give you guys advice in a personal consultation or a workshop. This is what I do. This is my work. This is my career. And for any trader who thinks that it has an underlying belief about trading being greedy or trading being gambling, and that's a negative definition, that means you are not approaching your trading as a business. And you are not approaching it from a professional mindset. So my advice to you is stop trading until you can approach trading as a business. Now, one of the dynamics that traders have to figure out, if, and I say if, they decide to fully step into this adventure of trading, the adventure they chose to embark on, it wasn't pushed on them, is to recognize that all the words we have used in our entire lives on a daily basis, words we all use with commonly accepted definitions, those words no longer carry the same definition as they did previous to us becoming traders. Now, you're going to say, well, what are you talking about? And I know I've been over this before. I'm not going to do it again. You can go back to the previous shows where we went over the word discipline. All right? Because once you become a trader, when, you know, everybody's, oh, you got to have discipline. Yeah. Well, you know, I got spanked as a kid. That's being disciplined. But that's still the same word, discipline. So I didn't necessarily have a positive definition of that word when it came to applying it to my trading. So I don't use it. What I do use is I have to have clear and concise focus to achieve my goals. Clear and concise focus to achieve my goals. And I'm going to quote here from John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, again, I'm not necessarily being religious here, but this whole theme here is living your highest truth to create your highest financial goals. And if we're not firmly rooted in knowing our perception of God, then we cannot know his voice. We cannot hear his truth. It's important that we know his voice for these moments when we're at battle in the markets. And it is a battle every single day in the markets. Now in Isaiah 30:21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. So the main key here is, guys, you have to know yourself. And the way you get to know yourself is to listen. Is to listen. Listening is the conversation. You know, people talk about, oh, that still small voice of God. Well, I don't believe that it's small and it's still. It's there every day, right in front of us. We're just not used to hearing it. So you have to keep that in mind. All right? So let me get to the next section here, which I just lost. Sorry. I'm only human, guys. Okay. So the reason that traders fail to achieve results is because they unknowingly fall prey to natural pitfalls that they didn't even know were there. Okay? You got a lack of trust in themselves, the fear of conflict, because they did their analysis, but they still lost. That's a conflict. Like, I did this, I should get that. Well, that's not the way it works in trading. A lack of commitment. A lack of commitment to their rules or whatever. And that leads to avoiding taking responsibility for their trading errors. And basically, overall, what they fall prey to is a complete inattention to what they need to be focused on. And why is this? Because they don't know who they are. They don't know what they think, and they don't know what they believe. Now, the example I'm going to give you right now is going to be in one of our other books, which is going to be out next year. But I think I gave this example in one of my podcasts, but this is an example of Mark knowing who he was. I was on a softball team at work, and the team was sponsored by one of my ex-bosses, Perry Orr. I think I've mentioned it before. He owned a bunch of nightclubs, some of the hottest nightclubs in Chicago at the time. And so one of his nightclubs was sponsoring our team. And the coach for the team was an ex-Chicago Bears player who never showed up. So us girls were struggling for a while. And finally, Mark stepped up to the plate, and he became our coach. So he was there for every practice. He brought the equipment and, you know, got us through the regular season. So we did really well. We got into the playoffs. And that was amazing because there was one nightclub that always won for like 10 years. And so we really wanted to win. So we made it all the way through to the playoffs. We're up against this dynamic team, and they all had ringers. Okay, the other team had ringers. And all of a sudden, you know, this ex-football player, Mike, shows up, and he's got a bunch of ringers with him. Out of the blue, whole season, last game of the season, and he goes up to Mark and he says, "Okay, I'm in charge now. I'm gonna put the team together." So he starts pointing to all of us, you know, players, saying, "Okay, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. You know, my ringers are in." And we're all like, "Okay." Now Mike is a huge size football player. You know, I mean, you imagine what football players, how big they are. Mark was just a normal guy. He was almost 6 foot tall, you know, maybe weighed 180, but he certainly still had to look up to Mike. And Mark just looked at him and he said, "No effing way." He said, "You don't come here on the last game of the season and take over." He said, "It's not happening. Everyone's going to play." And Mark said, "I'll put your ringers in, but they're going in at the end of the game." Mike started yelling at him, and Mark just went off and screamed at Mike at the top of his lungs. That was the first time I ever saw Mark go off. Now we're all sitting there thinking, Mike's just going to punch him out and kill Mark. I mean, you know, we were freaking out. We were all so scared. And finally, Mark said his piece and he said, "So sit down, shut up. I got to put the roster together." And then he went over and he started doing the roster. So Mike stood there for a second looking at Mark, and we all thought he was going to come and get him from behind, but he didn't. He just walked away. So as he walked away, the rest of us girls were in shock. And Mark was just back to normal. He's like, "Okay, you're on first, you're shortstop, you're third base, blah, blah, blah." And anyway, long story short, the ringers went in the last two innings. We won the game. We won the championship with the regular team. My point being is, Mark knew who he was. Mark knew who he was. He knew there was no way he was going to let us down. There was no way he was going to let himself down. And he stood up to Mike knowing that was the truth in that moment. So I'm sharing this with you guys because I'm not saying you're ever going to have to get into an argument with an ex-football player. What I'm saying is the intensity of your thoughts has to be no different than Mark's in that moment. And we won. And you can too. Be right back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, now I hope that made sense for you. And again, I am not suggesting you get into any arguments with anyone bigger than yourself or scream at anybody. All right, that's not my example. My example is in that moment, Mark knew that he was the coach, not this guy that showed up at the last minute. That was his belief. That was who he was in that moment. And he made it abundantly clear to Mike that he was not the coach and he was not running the show. And so this is the way it works, guys. This was meant to be for our team to be our team, the team we had built with Mark all summer long. Whether or not we won or not wasn't the issue. the truth of that situation was this was a team. We were cohesive. Mark was willing to let the ringers in at the end of the game after we all got a chance to play. That was the fair and equitable thing to do. And that was Mark's belief system, fair and equitable. And he had to express it loudly, okay, but he did it. So another example is I was talking to a trader a couple weeks ago, and he had been listening to my podcast. I don't remember which one, but he said, you know, I'm having a little trouble believing what you have to say because, you know, you're one of those trad wives. Now, I didn't really know what he meant by that, but I guess there's a term out there, and I guess that's supposed to represent being a traditional wife. Meaning, you know, you cook, you clean, you take care of the kids, and you're a homemaker. And so, you know, I had him explain this definition to me, and I said, I don't think that necessarily applies. I'm traditional in a lot of ways, yes. I mean, when I was married, I supported my husband. I'm a great cook. He enjoyed my food. I cleaned the house till we got really busy with the business, and then we had maids come in once a month. I made sure that, you know, Mark's shirts got laundered with enough starch at the dry cleaners and made sure his suits were clean and pressed. All of that while still co-writing our books, being a great entertainer for our clients, making jewelry for our charities, and volunteering my time at the homeless shelter. So I don't consider that necessarily being a traditional wife in some outdated definition of the word. I just consider it being, what's the term I want to use? A superwoman. All right. So the point being is that even just a couple weeks ago, you know, this trader who was probably in his 40s, wanted to lessen the importance of what I've been teaching forever by labeling me and pigeonholing me into a definition that he had probably about his own wife. And I didn't accept it. Now, I didn't have to scream at him like Mark had to in the softball example, but I made sure he understood that he was out of line and he was incorrect. And what it occurred to me, because it's not the first time this has happened, obviously, is that a lot of traders think it's difficult to build a cohesive mindset for trading, a mindset of a focus. But it's really not as difficult as you may think. It's not that complicated. Traders make it more complicated than it needs to be because they're still trapped in outdated thinking. As a matter of fact, it's very simple to change the way you think and to create focus to always take profit. The illusion that these types of traders have are what I call fake traders. And the illusions of these definitions that they have chosen not to update, to perform, to help them function as traders, is their choice. Now, I've been over and over and over this for the last 25 plus years, that you have to redefine your definitions about success, about trading, about gambling, about greed, about your faith and making money. And traders who choose not to do that are stuck in a closed loop. So if you can facilitate, let's say, an update to these limiting attitudes, then you will instill a mental approach to increase your profit taking every single day. Because now you're going to have focus using terminology, using a cohesive set of focusing skills to truly see profit and to take it. Now, I also, as I've mentioned before, a lot of people will say, well, how can you say you're the best of the best? Because I am. I am the best at what I do. Absolutely. Otherwise, they wouldn't be calling me. Now, why can I say that? How can I say that? Because I know who I am. Because I created myself. All by myself and with my faith. With my faith. Mark and I didn't read anybody else's books to create anything. This isn't NLP. This is not, you know, Tony Robbins group stuff. This is nothing but what we created ourselves. We asked questions of God and we got answers. No one else gave us the answers but our Heavenly Father. Now, if you guys want to poo-poo that's your prerogative. I'm just sharing with you the truth. This is the truth. This is why it works. And this is how it works. And I'm quoting again from this wonderful book on spiritual combat by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman and Adam Davis. And I really strongly suggest you pick up this book. They write, "No matter what your battle, your stance in your tactical position is one of the most important moves and the essential element of a victorious warrior. Before you take part in any attacks, any battles, your stance must be firm." And as I said before, guys, we are in a battle every single day when we trade the markets. We are up against world events, lame comments by influential media types, you name it, you know, politics, but more importantly, our own beliefs. So you have to keep in mind that the biggest casualty of financial battle is not because you're tired. It's not because you have a physical ailment, but it's your mind. It's your mind and your soul. So you have to keep this in mind, guys. Remember, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now think about this, guys. Now everything outside of us, the media, politicians, everything outside of us wants to distort your focus long enough to ambush you to keep you from your goals. We can call this the evil one. You can call it the devil. You can call it someone you know. It doesn't matter. The dark. I like to use the word the dark. The dark will use whatever they can, and they will distort, twist, and pervert anything in order to neutralize you from becoming wealthy. But instead, you can turn this around and equip yourself with the knowledge of these tactics and focus your eyes on the prize instead of on the troubles around you. Now look, I'm no different than you guys, okay? We're living in a mess of a world right now, especially here in the U.S. Does it get to me? Absolutely. There are some days when I think, why even get up? And then the next thought is, well, of course I'm going to get up. No one's going to beat me at this game. And that's the mental attitude that you have to have as well. You have to start thinking about who you are every single day. As financial warriors, as warrior traders, we have to know that the voice of God is right there with us. You have to believe that He is right there next to you, guiding you as you click your mouse. Don't be distracted anymore. Don't be distracted by the news, your internet, your Facebook, your social media, your Twitter, your Messenger. How is that making you a better trader? How is anything on social media or any type of media, how is that making you a better trader? And I keep asking you this, guys. I keep telling you, write down that list, how it's making you a better trader, and you email that to me, and we will have that discussion. And none of you have. And I know you haven't, because there is no way that you can send me anything to prove that anything in the media is making you a better trader. So before we go into the next segment, before we take a break, I'm going to give you this prayer. It's my interpretations of the first book, Corinthians 13:12. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing your truth to me daily. I know your truth, and I will keep my eyes fixed firmly upon you. Protect my eyes, Lord. Protect my vision. Protect my heart. Protect my body. Protect my focus. Help me to see the financial threats as they come, because I know you will constantly give me the courage, the skill, and the wisdom to respond perfectly. I thank you in your name, Heavenly Father. Amen, amen, and so it is. Before we go to break, I'll leave this from Psalm 122. I lift up my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. You are ever near, you are ever near. Isn't that lovely? We'll be right back. Okay, I know I got a little faith-filled here today, but I'm just sharing this with you because what I say to you each week is what I'm feeling. What I'm saying to you each week is faith-driven, yes, but every Saturday morning I wake up and I ask God to prepare me for the Sunday show, and I allow him to direct my thoughts to what I should say to you guys. So I just wanted to share that with you. Now I'm going to share a quote for you from Robert Webb. And yes, he was my uncle. He wrote a book of poetry. He was extremely talented. And I guess I should probably republish that someday. But what he wrote in one of his poems was, the title of the poem was Do It Now. And the quote is, "We should follow our cause from beginning to end. Clasp our hands around this great sphere as love and trust and respect will appear." Nice, huh? All right, so in this next section, I'm going to start sharing some new beliefs with you guys, and some affirmations. So just keep in mind, now these are just my words, so you can take with them and, you know, edit them to fit your own thoughts or your own words, but at least it'll give you a good start. So number one, there are limited possibilities for abundance. I have an absolute belief in that infinite abundance in the trading arena. Number two, in the smallest atom, science has proven there is a field of possibilities and energy. And since we are physically made up of billions of atoms, that translates into billions of possibilities for us. Number three, I personally have the absolute authority to create my own prosperity. I do. I am the master of my path, and I am creating my prosperity with a new, higher evolved state of mind. I am no longer concerned about how much money I need. I am now operating from a mindset of success. We're at number four, sorry. Number three, one, two, three, four, sorry. Number five. I have gratitude for what I have accomplished so far. I am successful enough to have a trading account when so many others don't. That is an accomplishment. Continuing on, I'm going to elaborate a little bit on this. I have generosity towards others working their way upward. And I know that by sharing what I have learned will not take away my focus to continue on my path of prosperity. Now, I'm going to elaborate on that just a little bit. This is a real gray area here, guys. You can be generous towards others, but you can't let it water down your goals. Mark Douglas, as much as I loved him to pieces, ended up becoming too generous and just in the end, it you know, that's why everything got pirated. I'm sharing this with you. It's going to be in his biography next year. But so just remember, in all things, you need boundaries. We all do. Remember to circulate whatever money you have. Money is like our blood and life force. Our blood has to constantly flow where it stagnates, right? Then you have a heart attack. And then it becomes clotted, and that will cause mental, physical, and then obviously financial damage. If you hoard money, that comes from a belief that there is not enough and that there is a limited amount. And that is not conducive to building prosperity. And this is a gray area here too, guys. I know that, you know, I just worked with a trader the other day and she said, oh, I just stay in a trade because I just really want it to be positive. I want it to be a winner, even though everything is telling her otherwise. And it's because she has a propensity to hoard her money and not spend any money to enjoy the money she even worked for. So a way to get around this is begin looking at your money, the profit you take out of the markets, as a life force. Because it is a life force. Money makes the entire world work. We all know this. So money as a life force is used as an exchange amongst every single one of us. In other words, it's a back and forth ebb and flow energy field that energizes both sides. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Money is energy, right? We've all heard this, right? And if money is energy, then we can create, we can build on that energy, just like flipping a switch. We can make a decision to look at money as, let's say the way you feel after you're done working out, you feel all energized, right? Or such as myself, after I'm done cleaning the house, you know, wow, you know, this looks great. I'm all energized. You know, you feel really good about yourself. So begin looking at taking profit as a life force that's going to energize you to make more money, to take more profit. Because you know, the more you have, the more you can give, the more you have, the more you're happy all the way around. Just remember, this is all about circulation. Whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, everything has to stay in constant motion, not just the markets. The universe is in constant motion, and we have to be no different. We have to be in constant motion, constantly updating what we think, what we believe, what we choose. And when you don't do that, then you become stagnant. Remember that the universe is infinitely abundant, and there is plenty to go around. Energize you and your endeavors. Energize yourself by believing in this, guys. All right, we're going to wrap up here for today. You know where to reach me. PaulaTWeb.com, 760-636-4290. And we'll see you next week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.